All right, a pleasure to have everyone with us today as we get ready for game two between the Giants and the Minnesota Twins. Susan Slesser of the Chronicle joins us. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Marty?
Good, good. How do you like Minneapolis? Now, you've been there for many years, of course, covering the A's and Twins, and now you're back in Minneapolis with the Giants. How do you like the town?
I love Minneapolis. And, Marty, it's just so much better now that there's Target Field rather than the Metrodome. The Metrodome had sort of its weird charms. You know, it was great in a playoff situation because it was so loud, but it wasn't really a great baseball viewing experience. And now, although, you know what, we might miss the dome tonight because it is raining. So I might be rethinking that in a few minutes. But Minneapolis is a great town. St. Paul's a great town. I've got uncles here, so I know the area pretty well. And it's beautiful. And up until today, we were getting some lovely weather the last 2 days.
Well, that's why they built Target Field the way it is and not doming it, because the Minnesota people and the people who live in that area, they love the summer. They love to be outdoors. And they said, we want a stadium we could sit outdoors.
Yeah, and they did it right. I'm noticing tons of Giants fans here. It's a Giants vacation trip. And I hope everyone is really getting the full good experience and that they brought their umbrellas today. But it's been pretty loud here with Giants fans. Not a lot really to cheer last night or, you know, the second game in Detroit, but they are here in pretty full force.
You know, I was thinking about you this morning, and you've been working so hard for so many years in baseball and doing this job, and I thought about the travel. I said, boy, here's Susan. She goes to Colorado and then Detroit and then to Minneapolis. What is travel like for you this week?
You know, just travel in general, I think everybody knows it's so much harder than it used to be. Every flight's packed. You know, there are tons of flight delays now. The airlines are overstaffed. I wouldn't do anything different, and I love to travel in general, but it's not what it used to be. And certainly I do, envy the players with their nice charter flights and their big planes that they could stretch out on. But the next trip, Marty, is the one that's going to be pretty brutal. It's day game in L.A. followed by day doubleheader start at Milwaukee the next day and takes away our day off in Chicago because of the lockout. Thanks, lockout. And then 3 day games in Chicago. I'm not, again, never going to complain about a weekend in Chicago, but that is going to be some crazy difficult travel again from LA to Milwaukee for the doubleheader and then back to Chicago first.
How do you go from Milwaukee to Chicago? Do you take a train or how do you do that?
I take a train. I usually take the train. I do know there are some. I think some of the other riders are probably going to drive, so if possible, I'll hitch a ride with somebody if they're getting a car. But yeah, usually I take the train. It's a nice train trip. It really is. But it's going to be like 6 a.m. after taking the red eye to get there.
All right. Well, I just wanted to point out how hard you work and what the travel is like. And you know, the funny thing is, you show up and then we wait for your story. We wait for the tweets. But, you know, you're the one who's got to get there, so I thought it was good to point that out on this Saturday. Boy, so rain possibility, I saw that in the forecast. Is it raining now?
Yeah, it's sprinkling. It's gray. It doesn't look good. I'm not under the impression it's going to rain hard. So, you know, I'm sure they don't, on a getaway day tomorrow, want to have a doubleheader or anything like that. Neither team. The Twins, you talk about travel, the Twins have had it rough, you know, much rougher than the Giants, who had the day off coming into this series. So the Twins were at Houston in a long game and then got back very late on Thursday. So I'm sure they really don't want a doubleheader. But I will see. I think we might be in for a long haul tonight.
Boy, the trip is not going well for the Giants. You know, 1-2 in Colorado and splitting in Detroit and, you know, getting walloped last night. What's going on with this ball club? They, you know, when you don't hit, it always looks like you're not trying. But, boy, against right-handed pitching, they're having real trouble getting anything going.
It's pretty dismal all around. And we know that the one real strength of this team has been the starting pitching. And, you know, the last two games, two pretty reliable starting pitchers, certainly Logan Webb, of course, you know, has a bad big inning. And then Alex Wood absolutely falls apart in the third inning last night, and no offense. It looks like an overall just poor effort. Now, I'm not questioning the actual effort level, because I think probably what's happening. This is usually the case. It's probably trying too much. But take into account, too, the Giants, especially at Detroit and here in Minnesota, they are not familiar with these pitchers. They're not even familiar with the ballparks. Most of the Giants and most have not played in either park, Detroit or Minnesota. They certainly don't know the rosters. They've got all the reports, but there's absolutely nothing like having seen a guy before. And Joe Ryan, I think they all felt like, was a guy that, when just looking at his stuff, was somebody that they could hit. I wasn't hearing anything about how overwhelming he was, but they just hadn't seen him, and they were making good contact, but not great contact. A lot of foul balls hit straight back, you know, usually just a sign that you're just missing. It's kind of been a little bit baffling, but you can throw that in there too. Now, last year, they certainly saw a lot of guys they'd never seen before. They had interleague play. And it wasn't an issue. So this year it is. I don't know, Marty. Time is starting to run out for them. This is not a secret. They got 5 weeks left. They're lucky that they have games against the Padres and they can make up ground there. They've got those two against the Brewers. But they've got to figure, as Jock Peterson told me last night, they got to figure out a way to start winning these games. They're not. They really don't look good in any area right now.
No, they got to win games. Look, they're fortunate that Milwaukee is just as bad, and San Diego stopped hitting, and their bullpen became a problem, and they were just as bad too. So the three teams, they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. So that's what has been going on with this ball club. Susan, you wrote about Belt, and it sounds ominous for him with the knee. Could this be it for Brandon Belt?
I hate to say that's the case, but the signs certainly suggest that that is a good possibility. You know, he doesn't have much left in that knee. He's been very upfront about that for a long time. And it's now not responding really to treatment. That's the most, you know, it was tough to hear him say that he doesn't even like thinking about this as a possibility because it's so upsetting. It's hard to even hear somebody say that, you know. He looked distraught when he was talking about it. But to me, the thing that really jumped out was he said, nobody can figure it out. The training staff has done all they can do. And that to me says, oh boy, you know, if that's the case. He talked about maybe the possibility of another cleanup operation. Now, if there's not much left in there, I don't know what they do. But orthopedists are, you know, he's seeing the best of the best always. And I know he's seeing Tim McAdams with the Niners this coming week. There are always new things to try. They are on it. They know the latest technology. They know the latest procedures. Fingers crossed there is something that works for Brandon Belt, because this would not be, just the way anybody would like to see his career end. I hope they can at least get him back on the field for maybe the last week or two of the season and that he can be productive and look like himself. I'm sure he would really like that if this potentially is it for him.
Mm. Well, Susan Slusser with us. Of course, we follow her on Twitter. And, of course, in the Chronicle as well, as she covers the Giants. I love Carlos Correa. I love Carlos Correa. In a way, I think he's auditioning for the Giants, perhaps. That someone who is a possibility as a free agent if he opts out of his contract. What do you think about Correa? He hit a laser shot last night.
I like Correa a lot. I do like him as a possibility for the Giants. You know, he's always going to carry that kind of Astros taint. And he comes with, you know, some of the things that fans did not like too much about that team, even beyond that. There have been times where I think maybe he has not always been the most mature of players. He's grown. I've talked to him numerous times, and I've always found him to be very personable. I think he could be a good fit. I'm not sure he necessarily would be their top target, but I like him. And certainly I think he would, you know, he's a great player. That was pretty vintage in a year where he has not maybe probably homered as much as he would like. Man, that was an absolute shot.
You know, this Twins team, they're in a little trouble right now. They trail Cleveland by 3. They've got a lot of games left with Cleveland and the White Sox. But, you know, there's some pressure on Minneapolis on the team and on the Twins itself. Is the fan base kind of nervous about this team?
It's interesting. I went over and chit-chatted with Sonny Gray for a while yesterday. We were kind of talking about the Twins and the Giants are a little bit in the same boat, right? They're kind of just not playing their best at the absolute worst possible time. And they've fallen out of a wild card spot, but I think they're a pretty good team. You know, they've got some real pluses, and the fans here are such good fans. You know that, Marty. I think that, I think they've certainly got the ability to climb back in. I would actually probably say that about the Giants, but the Twins maybe even more so. So, I think the fans were, they're in it. So I think people are always going to stay excited about that.
Yeah, I like the ballpark. The home runs, Garlick's home run was crushed. I've got thoughts about that. We'll talk about it in a minute. But Sanchez the other way was hit hard, but it did go out. And Correa's was a laser shot. It looks to me like it's an okay home run park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. This is like the smallest footprint of any big league stadium, so it makes it, it's not quite as vast. It's certainly coming from Detroit. It's really a contrast. Honestly, that left field, when I looked up, I thought, like, well, of course they're hitting balls out there.
Yeah.
Like, it seems smaller. And again, absolutely beautiful ballpark, and they did a perfect job. But, yeah, so, the confines are a little more confined, as they say.
Hey, I'm tired of position players pitching. As funny as it could be to see Austin Wins out there last night throwing blooper balls to the plate, I think it made a farce of the game. I'm tired of it, and I don't know how you feel about it, but, teams use these position players now in games they're winning, so they don't want to bring in a bullpen. And maybe if, the other team is losing by a lot, they'll bring a position player in, and you're having position players pitch off against one another. I don't like it. I'm tired of it.
I love it. I have got no problem with it. I mentioned today, I wrote a story that was online a couple days ago, but it was in today's Chronicle about J.D. Davis. I think the move, it's not just really going to be, nobody's going to be Shohei Ohtani, but I think teams are going to start to emphasize a little bit guys who can do some two-way work. And maybe, somebody that can pitch like J.D. Davis, maybe. I'm not saying necessarily J.D. Davis, although I wouldn't be surprised to see him pitch at some point, as a position player type guy, and he knows what he's doing. But maybe, teams start having these guys throw some bullpen sessions, work with the pitching coaches. There was a little bit of discussion about maybe even Luis Gonzalez doing something like that, and he has nowhere near the kind of decorated pitching past that J.D. Davis has. And also, if you're interested in this story in today's Chronicle, he was a pig farmer, which is a first for me. So, fascinating guy and very versatile, it turns out. But I do think that teams are going to not shy away from using it. AJ Hinch told me that when they had J.D. Davis as a young player in the Astros organization, they'd considered using him a little bit as a two-way player. Baseball wasn't quite there then. I think things have changed, and I think we'll see more of that. Look, that's why the Giants took Reggie Crawford. They plan to keep developing him as a two-way player. Maybe you can get a little value out of a guy who can throw a little bit of relief and play a really good first base and hit some homers. So I know what you're saying. You're saying Austin Wins has no business being in there. If it's to save one of your bullpen arms, I've got no problem with it. The fans usually really enjoy it.
Well, all right. If you get a pitcher who's also a hitter, but he's pitched before and can actually go out there, like we've seen that you take Ohtani, for example, no one's going to be that. But I could work with that. But just to throw somebody out there who's throwing lob pitches up, that gets me. But, hey, the story on J.D. Davis was terrific. And plus, he was a football place kicker and then raised pigs. How about that? The pig had a name. It's really a good story. I liked it.
Yeah, he's he's Elk Grove's own. So he was a future farmer of America. And, it's kind of what you do out in some of those places. You're taking your pig to the county fair and trying to juggle that with also playing in your baseball playoff games. It was a fun story. He's a very entertaining guy. And it's always, we like seeing the Northern Californians and the local guys. Scott Alexander joins the team last night. Speaking of, Santa Rosa guy, I love that the Giants have kind of emphasized sometimes when they bring guys in that they do have a Northern California connection. But, yeah, J.D. Davis, I think, is a real plus. I think he's got a bright future, two more years under Giants control, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him, and that's going to be great.
Yep, I agree with you. I think he should be playing all the time. Find a position for him right now, even as a DH.
Absolutely.
Because he's got that power. But Luis Gonzalez is back, and you tweeted that out just a little while ago. What does that move mean?
Well, you know, they did have the spot kind of open, you know, because of Belt's injury. They brought in Bryce Johnson the other day, I think because they knew it was going to have to be such a rush job. And Gonzalez wasn't eligible until today because he'd been sent out too recently. But he's been working on staying more closed at the plate. He really was not driving the ball as well. We saw that in that 1-for-30 before he got sent out. Gabe Kapler kept talking about how he was slapping the ball. You know, that's an indication of being, you know, he's opening up a little bit too early, kind of just lacks that punch. You got to wait a little bit, stay closed, and then really unload. And that's, he said, that's what he's been working on. So we'll see. We'll see if he can put it into practice. We saw early in the season what he meant for this. I mean, there was a stretch where he was probably their best player, probably their best hitter. And God, goodness gracious, they really, really need that right now.
Yep, from the left side especially. You know, Crawford didn't have a great week, and he had trouble in Detroit on Wednesday, and I was on the air with FP that night, and kicking it around, FP thought that, you know, it was a tough play, and I said, well, I've seen him make it a million times. But here's my point to you. You think Crawford would consider moving to third base next year? Let's assume Longoria leaves, and they have a right-handed, left-handed platoon at third. You think Crawford would be open to that?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I would assume that he certainly would consider it. I'm not sure it would necessarily be the best move. And I also think that they should bring Evan Longoria back. And they've certainly got somebody in J.D. Davis that can play both corners. So I'm not really sure I see the need there. He is not the shortstop he was. He is still a good shortstop. You know, he's less than a year removed from winning a Gold Glove. So I am not writing him off at shortstop. I think he's great. He played with so many injuries early in the season. I think that's one of the reasons we see that -7 defensive run save, which is not like him. But he's had other seasons like that. He's bounced back fine. The play the other night, you know, it looked like so much like he just kind of waved at it, and I thought, that's weird. And if you noticed that game, there were a couple really tricky, weird hops. The ball had not well hit, and then it bounced over Wilmer Flores. So I asked Crawford, was that infield particularly hard? It was a very warm day at Detroit. And he said, I mean, he wasn't using an excuse. He didn't bring it up. I specifically asked about it. And he said, yeah, it was a very hard infield. And there were a lot of balls that tip hops that guys weren't expecting all around the infield. So there was a little bit of that. It was one of those innings, I'm telling you. That's, you know, it's the same inning that the ball hops right straight over Flores and winds up in no man's land and stops moving. So I'm going to give an asterisk on that one.
All right, we'll see. But, you know, it happens to shortstops, Cal Ripken, A-Rod, people like that. As they get later in their careers, they do move to a corner. So that's what I thought about when I saw it the other day.
Is he going to be better at third than Evan Longoria would be at third next year?
Well, you know, my feeling is, and look, Farhan was very candid this week in talking about what this team needs and how they have to evaluate this team. And my thought is, you know, we've invested all of these older players, and maybe it's time not to invest in older players and, you know, get rid of them a year too early rather than a year too late. So my feeling on Longoria is try to go younger at third base and not get involved with plantar fasciitis and all the things that go wrong with him.
Well, yeah, but Crawford, A, is not going younger at third base, and B, they've got J.D. Davis who can play there a lot. So you're paying $5 million to send Evan Longoria away when he's actually been, when he's been healthy, a plus for them.
All right. Well, we'll see. This is going to be an interesting winter, I will tell you that. As we talk with Susan Slesser and wrap it up with her, what do you think of the schedule for next year and all the changes coming?
Oh, I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. You know, what a fancy schedule the Giants get to out of the gate with this new. Everybody keeps saying balanced. Well, it's not really balanced, but everybody is playing the same teams. I mean, there were years where one team would get the AL Central and just absolutely clean up in interleague play, and another division's playing the AL East and would get sunk. That's not an even schedule. So it's more even now, but I like that. And the Giants open at Yankee Stadium, and they go to Mexico City. It's still not official. We expect it's pretty early in one of those early season series against the Padres. How fun is that? Like, growing the international game is so important. Luis Gonzalez is of Mexican descent. Austin Wins has a Mexican mom. There's always so many ties to Mexico in baseball, and I absolutely love that. I mean, the Padres go in there and the Giants, that's awesome. That's a great schedule.
Yep, yep. Anything different. It's time to do it a little different, and that's okay. Well, a pleasure having you on, as always. We always have fun kicking it around. So you're pro Longoria. I say that's enough, but we'll yeah. see what happens.
We can disagree once in a while, Marty. It's okay.
That's all right. To be continued. All right. Have a great afternoon. I hope the weather holds, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks, Susan.
Absolutely. You and me. Thanks, Marty.
A pleasure. No, always a pleasure. That's Susan Slesser of the Chronicle. Always enjoy talking ball with her. All right, more coming up. Bill is up next. The very interesting interview, and I'll let him talk about it as soon as he comes on. Bill Lasky next, right here on the Sports Leader.